Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Crypto Entrepreneurs Podcast with your host, Charles. Enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to episode 43 of the Crypto Entrepreneurs Podcast. It's your host, Charles the ETH, and today I'm going to be sitting down with Corey from the Coin Bros to talk about getting your crypto ATM machines set up. And how to start this kind of crypto ATM or Bitcoin ATM business. And he's pretty much going to walk you through all of it. He's going to talk about the legal. He's going to talk about funding. He's going to talk about, you know, what type of machine you should get, general upkeep. And then he's going to end with, you know, kind of how to sell yourself to these businesses so that you can get these machines out there. But I don't want to go too much into it. So without further ado, let's get into it. So Corey, before we really get into it, can you kind of just give us a little bit of background on yourself and what you were doing before you found cryptocurrencies?
Yeah. Before this whole crazy cryptocurrency space, I was a paramedic testing and, interning with fire departments in Southern California. And then, as well as working in a busy emergency room in San Bernardino, California. And that's about it.
Okay, so you were an ER. How'd you get introduced to crypto? Like, where did you first hear about it? What got you interested?
So in between calls, sometimes you have a lot of downtime. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I was always interested in finance and stocks and investing. And I remember it was after a call. I don't remember what the call was, but I was sitting on my iPad in front of the hospital in the ambulance. And I just came across something about Bitcoin. And then I just was super intrigued. Didn't think too much of it after that day. And then one of my buddies, this was in 2012. And then one of my buddies, maybe a year or so after, brought it up. And he had mentioned that he had been mining. And at that time, I think it was, you could just mine on your computer. And I thought, oh yeah, you know, I heard about that Bitcoin. And then he kind of got me into it, gave me some Bitcoin. And then I had some, I don't know if you ever remember faucets.
Yeah, of course.
Cool.
Kind of free Bitcoin.
Yeah, man, I wish those things were still around, huh? Right. So he pretty much set me up with all of that stuff. And then from that point on, I just kind of never turned back. So it was my first initial introduction, kind of forgot about it. Then my buddy brought it up who mined it. And then, that was 2013. And then I just kind of fell down the hole.
Yeah, and that was history. So first of all, congrats, I guess, or not congrats, I guess. Thank you for your service as a paramedic. I actually have a buddy who is in a very similar situation to yours. He was working in an ambulance doing that whole thing and is now trying to get into a fire department. So very similar situation, which is odd. Then
poor bastard.
Yeah, no, he's told me some stories from the ambulance, and I don't know how he does it or how he did it. And so I just want to say thank you for your service there.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And then your crypto story, it kind of sounds like a lot of people's where they, you know, first hear about Bitcoin and it kind of goes over their head, I would say. I don't know if that's the best term to use, but, you know, they hear about it. They're like, okay, yeah. And then later on down the line, it's reinforced by either someone else or they see it again in the news or from a friend. And they're like, oh, I heard about that. You know, we got more people talking about it. This is, you know, something important. Let's get involved. And you said that was in 2013. So big congratulations on getting into this space early. And so as you've been in this space, you've started this business. And that's kind of what I want this phone call to be about. And it's these crypto ATMs or these Bitcoin ATMs. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard about them. And so when we were on, you know, Nick, Witty, Albion, Beggars stream, you and I were on together, and that's where you had mentioned, and I was like, I got to get you on. I've been looking for somebody who has, you know, one of these crypto ATMs. So can you just give us, before we get into, you know, how they get set up, and if, you know, you're going to give us some tips on how others can do it. Before we do that, can you just give us an overview of how you got started, when you got started, why you got started, and then, you know, the little things like how many machines you operate, where you're operating out of, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So in, that same friend, as time kind of went on, he actually brought up the idea sort of in passing about Bitcoin ATMs. And this was when I was in the emergency room working there. It was about 2016, roughly. And so he said he's going to buy one. And then he did buy one, and he sold all of his Bitcoin on it, like almost immediately. There was such a demand, like immediately. And it was a constant kind of a clusterfuck. It was just a headache. And but we saw a huge demand. And but we had so many conflicting views on everything that we wanted to do. I wanted to go one direction. He wanted to go another. And it was, you know, everything from what should we call it to how to scale correctly to... I mean, if there was an argument to be had, like he and I would have it. So, it was all his business. It was his idea. And I just kind of worked alongside him. But at that time, I was learning a lot. And he just kind of, at some point, he was just sort of over it. But we had parted ways before then. So I sort of took what I had learned. And then in 2017, I bought the coinbros.com domain and registered the LLC. And I sort of sat on it for a while I kind of meticulously planned everything that I wanted to do my way. And then finally, in 2019, I launched under my own accord with my own rules, my own plans for the future, and my own mindset going forward. And I've never looked back. So, you know, from the very beginning in 2019, we only had 4 ATMs right off the bat. And now we have 15 within a couple months, with plans to have 20 by the end of the year, and then 50 to 100 well into next year. So we've really achieved quite a bit in such a short amount of time. And it's a blast. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
So... this friend, I hope you guys are still friends. If not, I'm sorry, but he got you introduced to Bitcoin. He set you up with, you know, some free Bitcoin at the beginning, and then he kind of, in a sense, mentored you with these Bitcoin ATMs. And then you guys, you said you parted ways, and your growth has been phenomenal. You said you started with 4, that jumped up to 15 as of right now. You plan on having 20 by the end of the year, and then 50 to 100 next year. So that demand you were talking about is clearly there. So thank you for kind of giving us that rundown of, you know, how this whole thing got started. Now, can you give us, you know, a couple more details on how to get things set up, what kind of fees you're charging, any of the legal, that kind of stuff? Can you just, because I have a feeling that some people listening to this, or, you know, my audience in general, someone might want to start one of these crypto ATMs. And get one set up in their local town. So I kind of wanted to have this episode be a how-to on that. So if you could just walk us through that process, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so it's really funny because of how much goes into this. This is unlike any other business that I haven't started. This is the first business I ever started. So, but even comparing it to other businesses, just like anything else, this is so unique. And there's so many steps to it. And it's one thing to have a general idea of what it looks like for one or two machines, but it's a completely different animal when you start scaling up the business. And in any event, no matter what, the first thing you need is a robust and professional AML policy with along with a compliance officer who's sort of worth their salt. So that's always number one, is AML policy, AML KYC with compliance officer. Number two, you need to register with FinCEN as a money service business. And these things are if you don't do these things, you're going to have a bad time. Like, I promise you, the long dick of the law is going to come out there and slap you, because you have to absolutely, we're high risk companies and we deal with cash. So there's very specific rules that you have to adhere by. And registering with FinCEN, if you don't do it, you're going to go to jail. I mean, there are already some examples of some people who were trading on localbitcoins.com that were acting as a MS, and they were trading for years, and then they are serving prison time right now for quote-unquote laundering money. And that's because they didn't register as a MSB. So anybody who's listening, AML policy, compliance officer, register with FinCEN as an MSB. And then after that, you sort of have the fees associated with an LLC, whether it's your startup, your business, whatever that is. Then you need the machines, of course, obviously. So I use General Bytes. I had a different kind of machine. I don't want to name them. They're a good machine. They're very pretty. But as far as functionality, it's just nobody can touch General Bytes. I've had the best experience with them, and they're really the best software and the best customer service at the best price. So I don't know why anybody right now would go anywhere else. And that's not really, like, I'm not sponsored by them. I'm just saying, like, I've had experience with other machines. General Bytes is dialed in. So after that, you need a location. So you have the machine. Now, unless you're going to have it in your house, you need to put it at a location, right? Exactly. So there's a lot of associated costs with that, from paying them rent to marketing, to listing them on websites. We always put our machines on coinatmradar.com, as well as our own website. Well, coinatmradar.com, you can basically reference all of the Bitcoin ATMs in your area. They all kind of pop up. And then no matter what, you need liquidity, no matter what the circumstances. So even Bitcoin isn't free, and it's not easy to get, especially in large amounts. So you either need to align yourself with a trading desk or an exchange, or however you can get it, you need to provide it to other people, because if you run out of Bitcoin, well, then you kind of drop the ball. Then you have customer service costs. If you want to pay a customer service rep, I do most of my own customer service, and I got to be completely honest, I am not a customer service guy. I absolutely hate it. So I'm definitely looking to hire someone in the future. If anybody wants to be a customer service rep and they know what they're doing, feel free to reach out, because I am hiring right now.
There we go. Yeah, we'll have your Twitter bio and anything else that you want to add to the description of this video. So cool. If anyone wants to get in contact, they can.
Absolutely, please. For God's sake, please get me out of this customer service hell that I'm in. So then, and then we have, you know, legal representatives, because lawyers, you need them.
Of course.
Then, you know what, if you work with a bank, and you should work with a bank if you're going to scale and do things correctly, you need armored car pickup, because they don't want you to touch the money. So you need those armored cars to go to each location and drop the money in a vault. And then as far as banks goes, the answer is yes, we work with banks. And if you want to continue to do things the right way, you have to work with an MSB bank. And that's a whole other process in itself. By the way, real quick, you know, I do want to give a plug to Andy Benjamin, Haiti, Connie, and Mark Ochab at Bankline. It's the Bankline team for really believing in us and helping us make this a reality. Because for what we want to specifically do, we need a very specific bank account. And again, these guys bend over backwards for anyone in the space. And when it comes to banking, nobody wants to work with us. Nobody. It's almost as bad as the marijuana industry. It actually might be worse, where you're such high risk that for them to take a chance on you, I know it doesn't matter how transparent you are, however you care about the revolution, that would have, the end of the day, it's banking systems are scared of us right now, and the legal compliance and framework is scary to them. So for these guys to actually put their necks out for us and give us a chance. It's really kind of a dream come true. So thank you to Bankline, because again, we wouldn't be able to do what we want to do without actual bank account. You can't just go to your personal bank account and walk in with $100,000 cash and just like, here you go. Like it doesn't work like that. And so you need a bank. So anyway, the list goes on with just standard business requirements. I'm not giving anybody any advice of something that's unique to this business model. Like, this is standard stuff. And if it sounds like a lot, it is a lot. And I wouldn't tell anyone to not do it, by all means. If you have the cojones to do this and to stick with it, then it's going to be great, most likely. But most people, you know, they capitulate long before they even get to an actual bank account. I'll tell you that right now, man, because it is really hard. This business is hard, dude. Like, it's not, I set up an ATM and then look, I'm a millionaire. Yeah. It's not.
It's funny because, you know, that's exactly how I was going to kind of start this conversation, or, you know, respond to what you were saying. It was like, holy shit, man. I don't think people have realized how much goes into it. Like you're saying, it's not just set up a bank account. I mean, set up an ATM, plop it somewhere, and you're rich, you know? I'm just going to walk through everything that you kind of went through, and I'm going to recap it just because you did cover a lot. And I feel like it's, you know, I feel like it's pretty crucial that my audience understands and hears it again. To start, it's funny because I used to work at a bank. And so the whole AML, KYC, you know, that kind of process with banks is very nitpicky. And banks are, you know, very, very sensitive to, you know, people in this industry. Blockchain, you mentioned marijuana as well. And when I was working at the bank, we wouldn't touch either. There was like no chance we were going near either of these businesses. So, but anyways, you said, you know, you got to get a compliance officer and create this AML KYC policy. Absolutely crucial. And then the legal part of it, you know, register with FinCEN as an MSB. And an MSB is a money servicing business, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. So those are the first two, and that'll kind of take care of all your legal stuff. So you don't get kicked in the butt later on down the line. And then you talked about kind of some of the standard stuff, like, creating an LLC, you know, choosing what kind of locations you want to be in, picking the right machine, and, you plugged General Bytes. I know you said you weren't sponsored by them or anything like that, but you've tried and tested these machines out. And you've come to this consensus that General Bytes is the machine for you. It's easy for you, easy for your users. So I highly recommend, if anyone's starting to try to get into this, check them out. And then you did talk about when you get into a location, there's even things to consider like paying rent, marketing. You got to list it on sites. Another thing you plugged there was Coin ATM Radar. And that's kind of an area, or it'll show you which ATMs are in your general area. And then there's the behind the scenes stuff that you talked about, like the liquidity of the machine. You need to be able to provide Bitcoin to your customers, and that Bitcoin needs to come from somewhere. So you're either getting that from an exchange or trading desk. And then last but not least, you talked about legal and banking again. And I think that kind of comes full circle. You start with the legal, you end with the legal, and you really make sure that your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted. So I really appreciate you giving us, you know, kind of that full walkthrough of what people can do to get this business set up and how they can start their little Bitcoin ATM, crypto ATM empire.
That was a really good summary. By the way,
it's something that I've struggled with, and I'm getting better with each episode. I really try to, you know, focus on what you guys are saying and kind of do my best to recap it. I know there's stuff I miss.
No, not really, dude. There were so many things that you like. I'm surprised you you really actively listen.
Yeah. So I mean, this stuff interests me so much. Like, I love business. It's why I started this podcast. And for me to, you know, have somebody on and not give them my full attention, I just think it would be, one, rude, and two, I wouldn't get as much out of these calls as, you know, I really want to.
Yeah. Hey, you said you used to work at a bank.
Yes, sir.
What did you do?
So I was an analyst there. I was an underwriter. Yeah, I don't know if you guys are considering taking out any kind of loans for, if you are, for the business, but I know we wouldn't lend to anyone in the marijuana industry, anyone in the blockchain industry. It all just got laughed off.
Yeah, of course.
And then, you know, just getting a bank account set up, you know, to have cash coming into an account that's related to the blockchain industry, even that's got to be tough, right?
Yeah, it really is, because they're so specific with, and rightfully so.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, there's a lot of, I guess it would be money laundering that goes on, or that could go on, and they're very wary of that. So I'm assuming none of like the big banks, like the Chase, Wells Fargo, those kind of guys aren't going to bank anyone trying to start one of these businesses.
Are you asking?
Yeah. Here? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
I hope not. I hope not. Those guys can do their own thing and let us, you know, do ours. If they were smart, they would offer it on their ATMs that they already have.
No. I'm just asking if any of those big banks will bank you.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, no. Sorry, I missed that that question entirely. No, not only will they not bank me, but they'll try to put a hit out on me as I walk out of their branch, and they go, okay, follow that guy home, and then suffocate him in his sleep. We want this guy dead. They hate us, man. They absolutely hate us. That's why, you know, when you come across a bank that's actually MSB and open to this industry, they're worth, you have to do everything you can to have a good relationship with them and really understand that not all banks are enemies, just how the narrative is in this whole space. Everybody hates the banks, but guess what, man? I have a mortgage, and I wouldn't have a house over my head if it wasn't for a bank. And crypto isn't for everybody. And in fact, being in crypto is more of a discipline and more of a responsibility than just putting your money in a bank and letting them manage it. So banks serve a purpose. They're not completely the enemy. Yes, they fucked up, and that's what happens when enough people don't get together and stop things before they start. And I know that they're responsible for a lot of things, but that wasn't every single bank. And again, you know, imagine life without banks, at least right now, it would be unmanageable for most people. I don't know.
I actually argue this a lot on Twitter. As of recently, I haven't, because I get a lot of negative response from it. But I worked at a bank. I think debt is a great tool to use if used correctly. Right. And there's people who totally disagree with that idea. But I'm all in support of banks. I think it's this corporate greed that really causes the problems. But if you look at something like a local credit union that has a very low interest rate spread, and they're, you know, paying back to their customers a decent amount of what they're lending, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They're giving you money to let them, that's a terrible way to put that. But they're paying you interest, you know, and then they loan your money out. So you're doing them a service. They're paying you for it.
I agree. I mean, I always play devil's advocate, and I see the problem with banks, and here I am like advocating for banks and Bitcoin. And you're like, what the hell's the matter? Like, that's so conflicting. But I see a future where they all actually kind of work together. And I don't see why that would be a bad thing.
No, definitely.
You know, and by the way, to your point, yeah, there's nothing wrong with debt. It's really on how you manage it, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that I went through a phase where it was, you're mad at the government and you're mad at the banks, and then you just sort of ball. They do have a use case, and so maybe they're not all that bad. And I don't know. I don't want to get off on a tangent because I know it's a sensitive subject, but we need them, and we're upfront that we need a good bank.
Yeah.
So you know, it is what it is, man.
No, we have very similar mindsets, so I don't have a problem going off on that tangent. But that bank, was that Bankline, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, Bankline is the service that helps you get everything dialed in.
Okay.
And they present you to a one of their banking partners.
Got it. Okay, so they have a really couple good banks that they partner with, I'm assuming.
Precisely. And again, these guys, they're just bending over backwards for me. I'm really, really, really pleased with, you know, Andy and Haiti and all those guys and Mark, that they just would go out on a limb. Let me tell you, I'm not, and I'll shut up about banks after this. I'm not one of these big guys that do $30 billion a year in volume. And for me to ask them to give me an account in my infancy, where I am right now, every other bank laughed at me. They all just said, talk to us when you do, you know, a million a month in transactions. I'm not even joking. Like, that's, you're like, well, how do you even get there without a bank? Yeah. That's the catch 22. Yeah. You're like, I'll get there, but I need this first. And they go, no, get that first. And you're like, well, I don't even know how these other guys did it. But for them to go out on a limb for me is really, I'm really humbled by these guys. And that's the most I'm going to say about it. So it's just, it makes me feel special. And now we get to do what we plan to do. And we're going to do it aggressively. And we're going to make, you know, them and anyone else who deals with us really proud that they're associated with us, because we're going to do things the right way.
Right on, man. That's truly inspiring. And I'm glad that, you know, there are services and people out there who are still willing to help the smaller guy, in a sense. You did say you were going to shut up on it, but I actually do want to ask you one more question. Is that a local service, or is this something that, you know, anyone can use if they're in the States or California? I'm not really sure.
It is not local, whatsoever. And it's very specific on the way that they want things handled. I don't know how much I'm permitted to say, and I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth, and say too much, but they're extremely picky on how they want things done.
Okay.
And so going forward, we're just going to do it that way. And, you know, the path is straight and narrow, and that's all. So they're not a local branch by any means.
No. Okay. So like my buddy in Texas or something could give them a call and see if they can create some sort of relationship.
Yeah, they're open. They're open to conversations. I can't promise anything.
Yeah, of course.
I think our situation was unique.
Okay.
And you know, again, I'm appreciative to that, but it's worth a conversation if you're serious about it and you have all your ducks in a row. They want you to be successful. I'll tell you that. They really do.
There we go. Okay,
and they're good people.
So, I mean, if anyone who's listening is interested, it would never hurt to at least reach out. The worst they're going to say is, no, we can't form this relationship. The best that can happen is you find a relationship, you get a bank, and you can grow.
Yeah, precisely.
So you talked about kind of growing this relationship with them, and then you also talked about your plans to have, you know, 20 machines by the end of the year and 50 to 100 next year. So can you just talk to us? I mean, that's obviously what you've got to be most excited for. But can you talk to us a little bit about how you plan on doing that? And then also maybe where you guys are expanding to?
Sure.
The thing is with this one, before you get into it, it's really hard because you guys are all business owners and you kind of want to keep, you know, everyone else in the dark until you're making those moves. So if you don't want to talk about, you know, where you're expanding to, that's totally understandable. But maybe like just like a little bit on how you're going to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm an open book, man, and I'll tell people whatever they want. I'll tell you right now, when I started this, I have one buddy in California who, shout out to HeroCoin, that's my boy right there. He was the only one who helped me. I reached out to a lot of people, and they told me to kiss off. They, you know, they're not good. Everybody in the space acts like they discovered plutonium. You know what I mean? Like, straight up, dude. Like, they had like some secret sauce that they're only going to keep for themselves. You know, like my precious kind of little thing. And I don't feel like that way. I don't operate psychologically in that respect. I have a very abundance mindset. And anytime I feel myself kind of getting jealous or greedy or feeling some sort of scarcity mindset, I try to eradicate that immediately. So if people need help, I help them. If people have questions, I give them the knowledge that I've gained so they don't have to make mistakes. And I think that this whole space really needs to adopt that, because if we don't adopt an abundance mindset, like right now, a bunch of greedy assholes are going to ruin it for everyone else. I promise you that. It's not going to be the banks. It's not going to be the governments. It's not going to be insert whatever narrative here. It's going to be one or two greedy people who make everyone else pay for their mistakes. So I'm not going to subscribe to, I don't talk about that because that's unique to our business practice. Dude, get out of here, man. What are you doing? If someone wants to do this bad enough, they're going to plow through every wall and go over every obstacle to do it. And I would love to help them, you know, straight up.
Yeah,
so,
you know, that's a truly beautiful mindset. And I think a lot of the people who do agree to coming on have that similar mindset where they want to teach the people, and then complete 180 of that. I've had people who say, you know, straight up, I don't want to give away any of my secrets. I'm not going to come on your show. And I understand it up to a point. But I think we're all here kind of working to help each other out, and we all want to see each other grow. And, you know, everyone can grab their own piece of this pie. It's a very new industry. And I think the more that we help each other out, the more we're going to grow as a whole. So I just want to say, beautiful mindset, before you kind of get into your plans on expansion.
Thank you for that compliment. It's just how I feel, bro. I mean, you know, so I guess what was the question?
What are you most excited for in the coming 12 months? And then I do want to ask a second part to this question, because it may not be what you're most excited for, but I do want to know in the coming 12 months, how you plan on expanding and where you plan on expanding to. Because you talked about, you know, you want to be at 20 machines end of year and then 50 to 100 by the end of next year. So I kind of want to see what your plan is for that growth.
Absolutely. So what I'm most excited for is really getting the chance to step up and do things the way I always said that I would do things. I don't know if this can resonate with anyone else, but sometimes when you're working for a corporation or just any business, you see holes in that business, in the way that they do things, and then the way that you can be more efficient. And your ideas sometimes just fall on deaf ears. And I don't know how many people out there know that they can be better at their job, but the system that they're in won't let them do it because of what a bureaucracy, or the managers won't listen, or they just plain don't like you. And it kind of sucks to be a slave. So now I'm really excited that it's my turn to treat employees and partners and anyone I associate myself with the way that I wanted to be treated this whole time. And I make it a point to give value first. And I really want anyone who works with me to look back and say, you know, damn, he really nailed it. And look, I don't have any delusions of grandeur, and I'm not even trying to be the biggest and the baddest Bitcoin ATM operator in the United States. That's actually a crown that I don't even have any interest in wearing. But this is really, to me, this is all less about trying to gain the community's respect and sort of finding my own path and my own self-respect in all of this. And I'm not caught up in some unrealistic vision that came to me in some dream and I'm definitely obsessed with all of this, and I am caught up with who I'm becoming. So that's what's really exciting to me, is just going forward and testing my potential in all of this and testing my resolve. Because it's, I said it before and I'll say it again, this is really hard and it's extremely demanding. And being a paramedic is hard, and you see a lot of stuff and it's stressful, but like, this is really hard too. You know, being the CEO of your own business, it's, some days it's an absolute nightmare and some days it's glorious. But I'm really excited. Every day I wake up and I go, this is where I want to be, working for myself. I don't want to work for other people anymore. I want to be the guy that people work for and they're happy to work for me. So that's really the most exciting thing that I can even think of. And whenever I think about it, I just get amped up. So let me pump the brakes a second. And
no, I mean, before you get into the expansion part, I just want to say that's a very beautiful mindset to have. This idea that, you know, the people you're working with and the people that are working for you can add value, and that their ideas should be as important as sometimes the business owners. Because I think everyone can relate to what you had said about...
I think so too.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
I think everyone can relate to that. Sorry, I thought we were cutting out for a second. But what I wanted to say was, I think everyone can kind of relate to that. They think they can do things better, a better way or a more efficient way, and the bureaucracy of things really, you know, stops them from doing that. And so you don't want that kind of to continue on into your business. So it's a beautiful mindset to have. You know, a lot of the things that you've talked about today have really resonated with me. This idea that we can all kind of share and grow in this space. This idea that you want to have your employees' input mean as much as your own input. So I just wanted, before, you know, you got into the expansion, I wanted to stop you and just say that I really appreciate that mindset.
Thank you for the compliment. It took well over a decade of getting my ass kicked at jobs and feeling underappreciated to think that I never want anyone to feel that way when they work with me. And now I'm in the position to do that. I'm not saying I'm going to never make mistakes, and it's that I'm a dream to work with, because I'm extremely demanding. I'm impatient. I'm probably OCD and somewhere on the spectrum of autism. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of frustrating things that there is working with me, but I also understand 100% that, what people need, and a good leader, I think, recognizes what other people are good at, their strengths and their weaknesses. And if someone's really strong in a certain area, let them fly, let them be good at that area. And if someone really sucks at it, we'll try to identify it really quickly and decide whether or not that person is good for the team, or they're worth it enough to stay on the team to work on those weaknesses together. So that's, and I could be wrong. I could be way off point, and this might get me into a lot of trouble, but I'm going to try it again. I'm excited to do things my way. So that's kind of what I see going forward, and that's what I'm most excited about. The expansion is awesome, but just having this as my own is where the real fulfillment comes in.
Beautiful and very humble. I really, really do like what you said there. And it sounds like you're thinking, you know, very far down the line with these ideas. You're trying to build something that's going to last. And you said, you know, you don't know if you're doing it the right way. I think you are. And I think a lot of people will agree with that. But before we move on, I do really want to drill you on this.
Yeah.
You know, how do you plan on expanding and growing this business? Give us some tips on getting new machines out there. What do you do when you, say, approach a shop owner or something like that?
Yeah. Well, so as far as expanding goes, how are we going to do that? Well, it's either going to be a loan, and once one machine pays for itself, we buy another machine, and just the profits constantly go into more machines. Or it's with the right investor. I'm not really crazy about having investors, and I've been approached quite a bit. And one, it sucks to split profits, you know. Two, the legality of it, and it just, I've never worked with an investor before, so I don't even know if I'm being taken advantage of, or if I'm giving them a good deal, or if we're both happy, or if it's going to be a nightmare. So it's got to be the right person, where we're both feel like we're winning in this deal, if it were to happen. And really, it's just a matter of how much money do you have to set aside for these machines, because they're expensive. I mean, they're not free, clearly. And there's no like layaway option. So it's either a loan, or I expand a little slower and each machine pays for itself, like I had already said. But at that point, we have about four or five machines right now that just need good locations. So if anybody, by the way, if anyone's listening right now and knows of a good location with great store hours and a lot of foot traffic that wants to get paid for hosting a Bitcoin ATM, let me know at thecoinbros.com. And we also give referral fees, and we love new and creative opportunities. So people come and they say, hey, I got this guy and he's at a hostel. And I go, well, you know what? The data kind of says hostels aren't really that great right now. And he goes, no, but you know, look at this one where it's located and the kind of people that come. And I go, you know what? It may be worth a try. Let's try it. So we're just looking for awesome locations at that point. So that's really about it. I mean, there's not really that much of a plan matrix. It's just we need money and we need locations.
There we
it's
go.
Pretty straight.
I was gonna say you've kind of, you know, wrapped it up into two things there. The money aspect of it, because these machines are expensive, and then you do need to have them filled with quite a bit of cash for people withdrawing their Bitcoin or selling their Bitcoin. And then second is the location that you need. And so for anyone who's out there, because you said you have five machines, you're just looking for locations right now. To anyone out there who's trying to break into this business, I think that's going to be one of the hardest things, is finding places where the machines will be successful. And so you talked about good foot traffic and a place with good hours. First couple things that come to mind are like gas stations, 24-hour, like, what is it? Grocery stores, that kind of thing. I'm not really sure because I don't have the experience here.
No, that's exactly right. Now, gas stations, liquor stores, just high foot traffic, malls.
There we go. And then I'm assuming, you know, the big cities obviously do a little bit better than rural, and I say rural in, you know, air quotes, areas. So like for California, because I'm in California, I know you're in California, it would be like San Diego, SF, LA, those kind of places. So these are just things for, you know, my audience and anyone who's listening. It's things you got to be thinking about. And you said, you know, you don't think you have too much of a plan to expand, but I think you've pretty much hit it right on the head. And that's as good as a plan as you need, really. So thank you for those tips for my audience and for myself. Now I really want to thank you for coming on, because you've gone through, you know, pretty much everything you need to set it up and how to be successful. And I do like to end my episodes with, you know, the biggest tip. And you know, sometimes I'll ask the question, if you had to start over, what's the very first thing you'd do? And I think you kind of already answered that when you walked us through how to get one set up. So instead, I'm going to ask the question, you know, for everyone out there who's listening right now, who wants to get involved or wants to start their own ATM, Bitcoin ATM business, what's your biggest tip for them?
Don't be a pussy. Honestly, it's going to be such a, excuse my vulgar, like this is not for people who get discouraged by hearing the word no. If you get discouraged by no's, this is not the business for you. If you get tired of long days, 16-hour days, a lot of driving and talking to store owners and trying to build relationships, this is not the business for you. If you are afraid of people yelling at me because they didn't get their Bitcoin, but they did get their Bitcoin, but they sent it to the wrong wallet, and now it's your fault, this is not the business for you. There is a lot of people that are going to look at you like you're crazy. when you ask to put a Bitcoin ATM in their shop and they're going to tell you to get the hell out of their store. And if any of that sounds scary to you, and if you're afraid of rejection, this is not the business for you. So get used to rejection and sort of eat that rejection and let it motivate you. If you're anything like that at all, where you just get back up again after you fall and you think you're resilient, then you're going to make it, you know? But if you're scared, it's okay to be scared, sure. But if your fear keeps you from getting up the next day and doing it again, then don't even do it.
I love it.
Straight up.
You started with don't be a pussy. And I like that. And it is a bit vulgar, but I think that this is the kind of business where that kind of advice works. Because you're going to have to...
Yeah, like, sorry. Anybody listening, I apologize.
No,
if I
don't.
You offended anyone, I'm not gonna waste your time or anyone's time listening to this and saying it's, you know, it's so easy. It's like, oh my God, I just had this idea and I just ran with it and this is awesome. It's not, no, like it is headaches constantly, but you have to get back up on that horse and just keep doing it. And if you do that, most people don't make it this far. They just don't. They sell their business long before they even get to an AML policy. I mean, they think that just having a Bitcoin ATM is enough. And, you know, there's just it's a long list of this will show you what you're made out of. I promise you that. It's like Navy SEAL training for the crypto space.
No, yeah. I mean, so I think my biggest takeaway from all of what you just said was that you really need to have those selling skills. Because I think all that other stuff, the AML, KYC, legal, banking, you can have other people take care of that. But if this is going to be your business, you're going to need to get out there. You're going to need to be told no 50 times, 100 times before you get a single yes from anybody. And so if you can't imagine yourself walking into a store and asking to speak to a manager or asking to speak to an owner or tracking them down online and getting a yes from them, you know, no matter what it takes, this isn't going to be for you. So I really appreciate that. Again, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. I feel like someone can listen to this episode through and they can at least get started and get their first Bitcoin ATM out there. So I really appreciate everything that you've talked about today. And I also want to say,
you're welcome.
Sorry. I just wanted to also say that I love your attitude. You're a very humble dude and, my views very much align with a lot of your views. All right, guys, that wraps up another episode of the Crypto Entrepreneurs Podcast. I just want to say thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. You know, the show's for you guys. I make it for you guys. And it wouldn't happen without you guys. So I really do want to thank you for that. And, you know, if you found anything in this episode helpful or any of the previous episodes that I've put out, can you just do me a huge favor and leave us a review? It would really help us out. And then on top of that, could you also share it with any friends, family, anyone on social media? You know, if there's something that spoke to you in any of these episodes, I would really appreciate it if you could do that for us. So thanks again for listening, and hope to see you next episode.